See, usually I have time during Disciples to get all of this together, but I don't have that. All right. Nope, that's not it. There we go. That's better. That's better. Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure that you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. May God add to the reading and to the understanding of this, His holy word. Amen. All right. So, back in May, I spoke on Philippians 4, 10 through 14. Which includes, in its 13th verse, I can do all things through He who strengthens me. And at that time, I spoke upon always reading Scripture within context and to be careful about cherry-picking Scripture. So today, we have another verse that is almost always cherry-picked, and that in many, many cases is used out of context. And that is the first verse, do not judge so that you may not be judged. Or, as it is more commonly said, judge ye not lest ye be judged. Now, first off, I want to clear something up. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged, is not found in any translation in the Bible. The closest that we get, the King James, of which that sounds a lot like, says, judge not that ye be not judged. The closest translation actually comes from the Orthodox Jewish Bible, that says, judge not, yet lest you be judged. So when you say this, make sure you're saying it right. Now, we use this verse many times when someone is getting judgmental. And we take it to mean that we should not judge anyone, or we should not judge anything. That instead of being judgmental, that we need to be tolerant, keep our mouths shut, and just let it go when someone does something that the Bible forbids. Right? That sounds like a good thing. Keep your mouth shut and don't judge. Well, sorry to burst your bubble, but that is not what this verse is actually saying. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus did not tolerate people that were doing something that was forbidden in Old Testament law. He called people out when they were doing wrong. Look at the woman at the well. He called her out. She'd been married many times, and she was living with a man that she was not married to. And if you look, Jesus' interactions with the priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, was always him calling them out on the things that they were doing wrong, especially on the practices that they had added that were not part of what God had actually said. And of course, probably one of the most infamous times that Jesus called out people that were doing wrong was when he went to the temple after the triumphant entry. He really called them off on that, to the point that he was flipping tables, and he actually took the time to make his own whip to whip the people. So, the fact of the matter is that we as Christians are called to make judgments. Jesus taught his disciples that if they saw someone that was doing something wrong, that they needed to do something about it. They needed to take and talk with that person. If you look in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, you see what Jesus teaches about someone that is sinning. He says, first, go to the person yourself and point out the issue privately. If the person listens, all is well, and that person has been restored. If the person doesn't listen, you are to take one or two others with you back to the person to witness what is said and to witness any of the evidence that is presented. If the person listens, all is well. That person has been restored. But if the person still doesn't listen, then you were to take them before the church and you were to present the evidence. If the person listened, all is well and they have been restored. If the person still doesn't listen, you are to treat them like a Gentile and like a tax collector. And if you called anyone a tax collector, that person was very vile, because tax collectors did not have the best reputation, mostly because they were cheats and they were frauds. So, if our scripture for today does not say that we are not to judge, what exactly does it say? What does it mean? Well, if we read in context and we look at verse 2, it says, "For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure that you get." That is a little bit clearer. We are called to judge, but we need to be careful when we judge, because any judgment that we make on anyone else, we are going to be judged by that. If we are mean-spirited in talking to someone, if we take and confront them in public, which Jesus tells us not to do, then we are susceptible to being judged in public and judged in an incorrect manner, that being mean-spirited. Judging is probably not the right word for this context, even though the scripture does say that. Probably a better way to think of it is instead of judging, having a judging attitude, we need to have a correcting attitude. Instead of judging, instead of bringing judgment, we are to bring correction. So we are correcting someone on something that they are actively engaging in. Whether that be being a drunkard, taking drugs, abusing family, abusing friends, or any sort of other sexual misconduct. Now, we have to be careful too. I said actively engaging, because there are people out there that are recovering addicts. They've been alcoholics, but they have gotten their life back. So is it fair to continue to judge them as being drunkards? Yes, I understand that if you are an alcoholic, you are an alcoholic for the rest of your life. But is it fair to continue to label that person as being an alcoholic? Jesus goes on and talks about this judgment and calls attention to it in the rest of the passage, where he talks about the speck and the log. And he talks about how we say, oh, let me take the speck out of your eye. I see that you have that in there. The speck being something that person is wrong in doing, that is represents the sin of that person. And we say, let me take that. Let me help you with that. And we have a log of that same thing in our own lives. If we take and judge that someone is an alcoholic and we on a regular basis are intoxicated, we are hypocrites. We are the hypocrites that Jesus is talking about. So we have to be careful in our own lives. Yes, we are called to correct each other. But if we are actively suffering or engaging in that sin, then we are in the wrong. And we need to be very, very careful, because while we are called to be judged, there is one thing that we as human Christians here on earth, there is one thing that we cannot at any point in our lives judge. We can only judge by the external signs of sin, the drunkenness, the drug use, the abuse of family and friends, the engaging in activities that are not correct. But the one thing that we cannot judge is what is in someone's heart. We cannot judge their inward motivations. And what we absolutely, positively can never pronounce judgment on is that person's salvation and that person's relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, we can't go around and say, well, that person is most assuredly going to hell because of the things that we do. That's not our call. I like to say that is way above my pay grade. Because anyone that is struggling can still have a relationship with Jesus Christ and still be struggling. So we cannot take and condemn anyone's soul to hell. We are called to correct others when they sin. And that means that we need to know and we need to understand what the Bible says on whatever that sin might be. So it takes prayer, it takes study, and it takes leaning on the Lord so that we can truly understand when we have to correct someone. We need to remember the many examples that Jesus gave us. When Jesus had interaction with people that were doing wrong and how he handled it. The woman at the well, he called her out that she had been married multiple times, that she was living with someone that was not married. And how did he speak to her? He didn't take and waggle his finger at her and say, "Woman, you are bad, you are sinful." He spoke to her in a loving, in a caring manner, in a correcting manner, and not a judgy matter. And again, if you look at Jesus' life, that's how he treated other people. The people that were sinning. The people that had demons. The people that were lost. He corrected them. He loved them. He cared for them. The only time that he did otherwise is when the temple was being defamed, when there were things going on in God's house that should not be. That is the only time that he resorted to being pissed off. So my friends, we need to remember also that when we are out and we see someone that is not doing what is right, that has a behavior that is destructive, is doing things that are not correct, gossiping, bearing false witness, bringing about the downfall of someone else because they simply don't like them. That our purpose is to bring that person back to God, to bring them back to be right with God and with Jesus. It's not to yell and It's not to scream at them and waggle your finger at them, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. It's to bring them back to God and bring them back to how He would have them to be. Amen. I call your attention to the prayer list as we see it in our bulletin.